Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepherd calling, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. Hope you're having a good day today. It's September the 6th. And before we get started, let me just do my disclaimer and get that out of the way. Okay. So, this show is intended for the listeners only. All the investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips and Ken Shepherd believe are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in this show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of this show or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that could help you understand the risks associated with any investment opportunity. So, that's the disclaimer. Now we'll get into the information of the show. So, my name's Ken Shepherd. And for those of you who don't know, I've been in real estate for about 30 years. We close quite a bit of business, about $200 or $300 million in process. We closed about $26 million recently. Did some pretty nice revenue on that. And we do loans, purchases, partnerships, equity participations, credit enhancements, and help people grow. Unlike a lot of other folks that are out there teaching courses and charging for their time and money and all that stuff, we don't charge for anything on any of these shows that we do. We want to give all this information away, and what we're looking for is to build more deals with you. You can reach us at 310-358-7087 or by email fci@petbell.net. Those are 24-hour numbers and emails. You can also call California time 9 to 5 on my cell phone, 818-585-9706. The call-in number today is 347-989-1329. The Twitter account is @KenShepherd. Facebook is Facebook/KenShepherd. And let's see, our website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Just go to the resume and accomplishments tabs. You can learn all about us. We recently did a up to $500 million soft proof of funds to purchase distressed assets. And we're seeing a lot of exciting things in the marketplace. We had a conversation yesterday with a gentleman who has over 100,000 people in his database. We'll be bringing that database in, I believe, soon. So that should help a lot of people do a lot more business. And we're looking to help people network and grow. And that's what this is all about, is commerce, network, and growth. We also do one other thing, which there is a small charge for. It's $20 a session per person. We do it Tuesday and Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning, California time, for about an hour. It's a networking session, 20 people maximum in the group, a mastermind group to talk about deals and networking and how we can help each other, and everybody gets everybody else's phone number and email address so you guys can all interact. I'm really all about helping people grow and helping people network, and we're starting to have people call us from listening to the shows. Got a nice call from a gal yesterday who's listened to a bunch of the shows, really loves it, wants to join our networking group, and also wants to just learn more about how to buy and sell real estate. She owns a few houses that are rentals, and she has one other property that's a single-family home. I also got another call from a guy who's got over $1 million in cash in the Midwest, and he's buying apartment houses and is looking for partners. So we're going to hook him up with an attorney just to help him out. And we just keep helping people, hopefully, and at the end of the day, we hope it comes back. We believe, you give what you get. That's how we feel. Let's see. Our creed basically is to help people out and to help ourselves at the same time as best we can. If you get deals done without us, good. If you get deals done with us, that's fine too. The name of the company, or the name of the show, that is Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. And we think that's very, very important today. We have three guests coming next week. One is on Monday, a guy who's very heavily involved in what we're going to discuss today, which is land development and splitting lots and things like that. Another one is Wednesday. with a gentleman who's an attorney in the Midwest, very good guy, very, very connected. And a third one is on Thursday with a gentleman in Hawaii who buys and sells and flips houses and is now getting into bigger projects and has a nice business, and we're looking forward to working with everybody and growing their business and growing their business and you know, generally just getting more things done. So let's see. I think I've covered all the major things. So we'll kind of talk about the subject of this show. This show is about land development and land and lot splitting. And the first thing I want to say about this area, and I had a long conversation yesterday about this gentleman who's coming on the show Monday as a guest, whose name is Thomas Mattingly, and he's in Nashville. And Thomas was talking about how he was involved in a deal to develop some land, and he ran into some issues on the government side, and how he resolved them was just brilliant. He was able to resolve it at, let's see, about less than 5 cents on the dollar as to what they originally wanted from the for him to do some work with, which he felt was kind of outside of what the scope of what his work should be. And he made a very spirited and proper argument, and he won. So it's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to having him on the show. As I said, the call-in number is 347-989-1329. So let's talk a little bit about land development and lot splitting. First of all, one of the things we keep talking about over and over again is no money down and negotiations, working with people, being courteous to get things done, and also using your mind rather than your cash to get things even further accelerated. So with that in mind, we'll talk a little bit about land development. So everywhere in this country, real estate exists that's not developed. And it's just bare land, maybe in the desert, maybe in the city, maybe in the country, wherever it might be. And when you develop land, just like when you build a house or when you build a building, you're improving the value of that land. And when you improve the value of something, the value of each of that particular property goes up in value. So if you have a piece of vacant land and it has no utilities or anything like that, it's not worth as much as if it has utilities. Because if it has utilities, you can put office buildings on or shopping centers or whatever it's zoned for. And we'll talk a little bit about zoning as well and a little bit of the tricks that go along with making property a lot more valuable than it would be otherwise by just the nature of the property itself. So bare land, of course, you could find all over the place. It's one of the easiest categories to work with property today because there's a lot of it, and the lenders don't know what to do with it, and the investors don't want to buy it. So the better, I can't think of a better time to buy land than right now because you can get it so inexpensively. I mean, we saw some land in San Bernardino out here in Los Angeles recently for about 15% of its appraised value. They just wanted to get rid of it for cash. And so a developer I knew bought it. We put it together and helped to make that deal happen. So so we're very involved with helping developers. So land works like this. When you start with a piece of land, you can do any number of things to it. You can bring utilities to it. You can bring roads to it. You can do all kinds of things to make it more valuable so it can be developed by developers who don't want to be bothered with doing lot development. So you can make a lot of money just turning over lots to developers who will be more than happy to pay you once the lots are what's called shovel ready, which means they're ready to build on the lots. And in order for that to occur, you have to have permits. You have to go through blueprints. You have to go through all those kind of things. But even before that, if you're going to build, of course, but if you're not going to build, you have to go through surveys and things of that nature. So let's take a piece of land. Let's make the simplest thing possible. You say you have a piece of land and you want to develop it. And it doesn't have any utilities to the site, so of course you can't put anything on it that you can build because there's no utilities. But if you build utilities to the site and you build a road and you have it available, that land becomes much more valuable because it's much more accessible. And you always want to build in what's called path of development, where you see development occurring, get a little further out and buy on that path, because eventually it's going to get to you. So when you're involved with lot development, one of the things you want to remember, which is really important, is if you take a piece of property and you take it and turn it from one lot to two lots or two lots to four lots, etc., each lot becomes more valuable because you have more lots. So if you have, say, one lot of property worth about $100,000 and you split that lot, each lot may be worth $75,000 just by the lot split. That's a $50,000 increase on just those two lots. Now, you may have to spend some money in surveys and things like that in order to get to that lot split. And that lot split, of course, has to be done and approved on the county records and on their plat maps and all that kind of good stuff. And make sure that it's legally a lot split, because it has to show up on the title records as two separate lots with two separate parcel numbers, because it's going to be taxed as two separate parcel numbers. And that's how you know you have two separate legal parcels. And you can then sell each one. You could sell them both, or you can sell either one. But what you can do with them is, once they're more valuable, let's say you have, let's make it a little simpler, or let's talk another example. Let's say you have a property and you turn it into 10 lots, and you bought the thing for, say, let's just say the simple number, say you bought it for $100,000. I'm just giving a number. So that's $10,000 if you split it into 10 lots. Well, if each lot is worth, say, after you fix it up, or you split the land, let's say each lot's worth $15,000 apiece, you've now increased that entire project by $50,000. You've made it worth $150,000. So if you take and you invested $100,000 and you have $150,000 worth of land, and you sell some of the land in order to recover your investment, you could be left for land that's at the end that's free and clear. And you have no debt on it, and you own it. And that's your commission and your fee. Instead of selling those pieces of land, you get to keep the land. And people do that all the time. They sell parts of the project and keep the rest. That's how they make money. And then they sometimes do things with the lots called trading, and they use the lots for a down payment on another piece of property, because lots are just like any other real estate. They can be traded and exchanged. We'll get into that in another meeting, but or another show, but right now we're going to talk about lot splitting. So anytime you do anything with land, you have to go through all the proper government channels. And unless you know what you're doing, or unless you have those relationships and such like that, like we've talked before about anything having to do with government financing, you have to have the government with you, and you have to have those relationships. And or you have to build those relationships, one or the other. So you either have to find somebody who already has those relationships, or you have to bring somebody, or you have to start working with people and build the relationship with them. Whether you're an investor principal or whether you're bringing in partners, it doesn't really matter. You've got to have those relationships, because the city is going to have to give you permission to split up that land. Because if they won't give you permission to split up the land, you have nothing more than you had to begin with. And so if you bought a piece of land and, say, you inherited it and you want to develop it, you have to have experienced people. And some of the people involve surveyors, title companies, attorneys, escrow companies. And these are all people that you can find out about if you just work with developers that are already successful, or if you go to the county and ask, you know, what do I need to do to develop this piece of land? And they'll tell you. And always be polite, even if they seem like they're sometimes not. Because when you're dealing with people who are workers for government, they may not be the most polite people in the world. I'm not saying government people aren't polite, but sometimes they can be a little surly. They've got a lot of work to do. They've got limited resources. They're stretched to the maximum because of budget cuts all over the place. And as a result of that, they have less people to do the same amount of work. So they're going to be maybe a little frustrated, and that frustration may sometimes rub off on you. Now, if you're courteous with them and you say thank you, and you're gracious, and you're kind, and you're respectful, and you treat them with decorum, then you'll probably get the same back. Sometimes you won't, but most of the times you will. Of course, if there's really a problem, you could always go to their supervisor, but I wouldn't do that. I would just always try and keep everything friendly and work everything out as you go, because you may need to go back to those people later again, and you don't want them as your enemy, because then it makes it harder for you to get things approved. You may be able to get them approved anyway, but it's just harder. So so developing land means working with the government. And everybody thinks, oh, working with the government, that's so exhausting. It's going to take so much time. And in some cases, you're right. It does. But when you spend the time and when you spend the effort, you get paid for that, because that's your equity. That's your time. That's your investment that then goes into the project, which is one of the reasons the land is worth more when you're done than when you started, because you did something to it. You improved it. And when you improve something, it becomes more valuable. If you put a house on it, it becomes even more valuable. If you do plans for it and you sell the plans and you sell the approved plans, that is, from the city, and all the things that go along with building and safety, and you get all that set and you sell it to a developer, that same lot that was worth $15,000 if you had 10 lots, you recall we just talked about that, and you spend another $5,000 a lot on plans, and you get them ready so they fit on the lot and everything's fine and everybody approves it and you're ready to go. You have roads in and you have utilities to the site and all that kind of good stuff. Then the land may be worth $20,000 a lot. And maybe you spent $5,000 overall to get it for 10 lots and you spent $500 a lot. Now you made another $4,500 a lot. So now you have $200,000 worth of land and you spent $155,000. So you have a $45,000 profit. Did I do that right? Let's see. You had $150,000 originally. Maybe it cost you $20,000 to do $10,000 to do the surveys and stuff to do the lot split. So you spent $110,000 to be at $150,000. That's $40,000. And then you spent another $5,000. So that means you spent $115,000 and now you're at $200,000. So I was wrong. You actually have a $85,000 profit because you made a lot more profit by doing yet another thing to improve the land. And the more you do, the more valuable it becomes, and the bigger the spread. This is why developers build on land, take it all the way out to the finished product. Now, one of the things you have to remember about land is, as I said, you need to be in the path of development. You need to be in your schools, shopping, churches, buses, all the things that people need when they buy property. They want to be able to move around, you know, whether it's a shopping center, an office building, a apartment house, a single family home, whatever it might be, you definitely want to be in that path of development. So let's now talk a little bit about how you find this land. Well, we talk a lot about different ways to find property, certainly papers that are sometimes, I like ones that are 6 months old, because people go, what's that deal? What's that deal? And then you remind them and they say, oh, yeah, yeah. You still want to sell it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so you cut out your competition because it's 6 months old and everybody's already called them and they've already gone on to the next thing, which I think is really cool. It's wonderful to do, actually. I mean, I've called papers that are sometimes 2 and 3 years old in order to make deals, and we've made deals that way. So one of the ways you can do it is that. Of course, you can do motivated sellers. You can put signs up. You can put ads on Craigslist. You can put ads in paper source online. You can put ads all over the internet. You can put ads in your local developer's paper, people that have land for sale. But the one I like the best of everything that's going on today is talk to the banks. Because the one item the banks have that you can make the best deal on today of everything that they've got in the entire place for all their properties is land. And the reason is people shy away from land when the market changes and goes south. So if you're a buyer and you're willing to take on what other people won't, you can make a lot of money just buying land. Sometimes you may have to hold it for a little while because you may not want to build in a marketplace where there's not a lot of activity, but you can buy that land for next to nothing and then just hold on to it and land bank it. You can also get land at property tax auctions. You can get anything at a property tax auction, but you can get lots of land at property tax auctions, and that's really where you can pick up some also great deals. various other kinds of auctions, various other kinds of real estate. Let's see, where else can you get land? You can get land from people that just inherited it, don't want it, through probate. I had a piece of land that was given to me, that just was given to me. I didn't have to do anything because they just had the land. They didn't want it. And they said, look, if you'll pay the taxes on it, you can have it. So I bought it for the taxes. That's all we do is we pay the property taxes on it. It's a small piece of land in New Mexico. I never saw it. Maybe never will. You know, but it's gone up in value quite a bit since we bought it. Not a lot, but, you know, somewhat. And all we just do is pay the property taxes. So you do have to pay property taxes on land. And, of course, like any other property, if you don't make the tax payments, you will have that land eventually taken away from you. And, of course, if you don't make the payments and you have loans on the land, same thing. But what we recommend as much as possible is buy the land for cash. And the reason that is just like anything else, when you're buying property for cash, are you going to get a better deal or are you going to get a worse deal with a bank or with a seller or any kind of seller for that matter? We talk about all kinds of motivated sellers on different kinds of shows we've done. You're going to get a better deal for cash. Cash is king. So if you say to somebody, I'll buy the land, I'll close in a week, I'm closing all cash, you're asking $100, I'll give you $20. You know, they may come back and say, I'll take $25. Or they may not. You never know. But I will tell you that you're much, much better. Your chances are much better on land than they are in a lot of other areas of real estate where you can make incredible deals with the sellers. Incredible. I mean, they just don't know what to do with the land. They don't want it. And they just want to get rid of it. And so a lot of investors, as soon as they hear land, they go, I don't want that. Well, if all the investors are saying they don't want something, isn't it more than likely a good idea for you to go after what nobody else wants? I mean, the best deals out there are the ones that nobody's chasing. The six-month-old stuff in the paper, this kind of stuff we're just talking about now, a property that's been abandoned, you know, whatever it may be. Those are the kind of properties you want to be aware of. And land is great because once you learn about it and you become a specialist in it, as I said, we'll be talking to a guy who does this for a living. One of the things he does is he splits lots and does development. He's a contractor. I'll talk to him on Monday. We'll talk about land a little bit, but the point is that land is always going to be there. And here's the other thing. There's only so much of it. So what happens as you have a community that starts at the center and expands and population comes in and it expands and they put a automobile plant or a washing machine plant or whatever right near your property? What happens then? Well, your property becomes more valuable because things are going on around you. Now, of course, if you're in the middle of the desert and the only people that are your tenants are the local little lizards and such, that's not too good. But if you're in the desert and the path of development is 2 miles from you, eventually they'll get to you. The further you are from the center of the core of activity, the cheaper that land's going to be because it's in the middle of nowhere. But if you're willing to hold on to it and you believe in the path of development, it could be a nice long road to income. But in order to make short-term income, I would pick land that's closer in, where maybe it's a broken project or fell apart and the guy lost the project and the bank's trying to figure out what to do with it. Believe me, there's land almost at every lender right now. They just have to get rid of it. And they'll do it for crazy prices. So you get the land. You raise the money like we talked about with various other things. You buy the property. Maybe you put a loan on it and put some money down, or maybe you just finance it for cash or whatever you want to do. And you end up with this land, and we keep going back to the example of where you paid $100,000 for a piece of property that has the ability to be divided into 10 lots. And if you spend $20,000 on, or whatever it was, $10,000 on surveys and do lot splits, and then another $5,000 on blueprints that you can use on each of the 10 houses, you use the same set of blueprints, you just use it on a different lot, then you essentially have spent $115,000 to have a $200,000 asset. That's an $85,000 equity position. Now, is it complicated? Yes. Does it take time with the courts? Yes. Is it, not the courts, but the government and all the, you know, building departments and all that kind of stuff. Is it full of red tape? Of course. Is it going to take, is it going to be a bit frustrating? Probably at some point it will be. But look at it this way. If you have a $200,000 valuation and you're only into it $115,000 and you have good credit, do you think you might be able to get 50% of the value of the land out in cash? You can from a lender, and then you can carry loans on the land and you can have less involved. Or can you take that $85,000 in equity and go to somebody and say, I'll trade you my land for a free and clear, for your free and clear house? Sometimes. And what you want to do is use properties that are less income producing to buy more income producing property if you can. Because the more income producing properties you have, the easier they are to finance, and the more people are going to be paying cash every month for the use of them, or you're going to be able to sell them. So I like to use land as kind of a leader for a down payment. We've used land for a down payment, and it's worked out really well because some people want that land. And anything you do to a property, people will pay you to do it. They'll pay you for that right, and they will pay you in addition to what they normally would pay you, they'll pay you a premium because you put the time in, you put your investment in, and you get a return on cash. And it's set by market. So you can have that property appraised, and you can say, okay, the comparables in the area are $20,000 a lot with plans and permits, which is what we just talked about. It's already permitted. It's ready to go. You've got plans. You're ready to build. You're shovel ready. You can go to a developer and say, look, I have $200,000 worth of property. And let's say the guy says, well, I only have $100,000 in cash, and I can't get any financing. Can you carry a $100,000 loan? Sure you can. And if he's got a really strong balance sheet, can you then maybe sell that loan, use it as a down payment, and then or take an advance against that loan once you own that loan, if he's got good credit and he's making payments to you? Sure you can. Can you collect income on that loan every time there's a monthly payment, or set it up with all kinds of creative structuring so that there's payments made to you either quarterly, annually, semi-annually, monthly, bi-monthly, whatever? Sure. You do all those kind of things. It all comes back to finding the asset, and it all comes back to structuring the deal. So land is a wonderful, wonderful vehicle for income. It also helps your balance sheet. If you have a piece of property that you're into for $115,000 and you put it on your balance sheet for a $200,000 valuation based on the appraisal, does that make your balance sheet stronger? Yes. Can you then go in and get better financing and get higher quality financing from banks? You sure can. Can you put yourself in a position where you don't have as many problems with cost of credit? Yes, you can. So we have 90 seconds left. I realize we just kind of touched the surface of land and how you can use land to go into other transactions and trade and things like that. And we will get into trades and such like that. But for right now, I'm going to just announce a couple of things quickly. Our phone number again is 818-585-9706 from 9 to 5 California time, Monday to Friday. Our office number is 310-358-7087. Our email is fci@pacbell.net. Second two are 24-hour numbers. The first one is a number during California hours. Our email address is www.creativeflips.web.com. You could do these things with $1 million pieces of land or $50,000 pieces of land. Now, of course, if you do $1 million piece of land, every dollar you spend, you're going to get that much more. So you have to keep that in mind, too. So I hope this has been helpful to you. We're running at about 30 seconds now. We look forward to being with you again next Tuesday. I'm sorry, again tomorrow. I was thinking about something else. I'm not sure what the subject's going to be. I'll have to think about it. I think maybe I'll do a session on trades and exchanges and how they generally work to your benefit and how they can help you tax-wise. And, of course, you'll have to talk to accountants and attorneys about all that kind of stuff. So have a great day. Thanks very much, and we look forward to working with you. Bye-bye.